All right, we're back live here on Carson's Corner in conjunction with CageJunkies.com. My name is Bob Carson. Big thanks to Riley Prysock and for those of you who called in during our first hour. And in the second hour, we're going to, we have him right now on the line. David Avalon, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Good. Welcome back to the show. I really appreciate it. I really want to talk about. We're going to go all around the bases here, but I want to first start off by talking about some of the grappling systems that you're developing. I want to talk about the Kimura trap system. From looking at the website, which is KimuraTrap.com, this seems to be something you're very excited about sharing. Am I right in saying that the basic idea behind the Kimura trap is that wrestling leg attacks like the shot can be countered using different Kimura variants and setups?
Absolutely. First off, like, to give you some backstory, I've been working on this system for over 5 years now, and I pretty much went with the philosophy of I'm just going to get really good at one thing and then dominate with it. And like the reasoning behind it was I just finished my last ADCC in 2007 and I had lost. I didn't get my goal, which is to win a gold. And I looked at my performance and I noticed that every match I went into overtime, like without exception. You know, I went against Tarsus, double overtime. I went against Zanji, triple overtime. I went against Drysdale, overtime. And I was like, man, I had put about 70 minutes on the mat for four matches. I was thinking, that's not really efficient. You know, it's like, it's not a good way to win tournaments. Clearly, it wasn't working for me, right?
Yeah.
So I was deciding to study, like, who are the guys who are winning ADC and what are they doing? You look at Marcelo Garcia, you look at Roger Gracie, and they finish the matches, you know, and like they take a little bit more risk, but the risk definitely outweighs the consequences because they're spending less time in the mats. They're not getting tired, and they're able to move on and still have a lot of energy. Because like the tournament format is not always fair because you could have like a 30-minute battle and your opponent could have a 3-minute fight, and now you're more exhausted than he is.
Right.
But so like that's what inspired me to change my style up, because I used to be like a grinder type person where I would just try to wear down somebody and then look for the submission afterwards. So I decided, you know what, if I want to win this tournament, I got to go for the kill. And I started looking at my game. I'm like, what could I do to put myself in a position where I could submit anyone from anywhere? And I'm very well renowned for my leg locks, which I still love. But there is like a limited opportunity to attack with them, you know. So I wanted something else that I knew I could attack from everywhere. And when I started studying, like I made like, I'm like an engineer, you know, so like I wrote down flow charts and okay, like all the submissions I could do from each position. I noticed that Kimura was like the most versatile one.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I decided, okay, well, if I got really good at the Kimura, like, you know, Marcelo Garcia is with his arm drag. I mean, you know, like, everybody knows Marcelo Garcia can arm drag you, but he still gets it, right? It's like John Smith with his, the wrestler John Smith with his sweep single. You know, everybody knows he's going to shoot a sweep single. He still got it because he's that
right.
Good. So that's what I wanted to get out of the Kimura. So I spent all my time drilling, working. And what ended up coming out was the system. And it's not just like one technique. It's a huge set of techniques that all emanate from that one very basic technique that everybody learns, like, you know, usually within the first week of jiu-jitsu. Now, like the premise with, as you were saying before, one of the things that came out of the system was that it's super effective at countering shots, like double leg shots, single leg, high crotch. It's just the way that the person is positioned after the shot makes them very vulnerable. And it's one of like the highlights of the system. It's not the only thing it's good for, but it's one of the things that I know like stands out right away. Like, man, if you didn't have good wrestling and you learned this very well, you would, you know, save yourself a lot of trouble.
Well, you know, look, and is that part of the reason behind the development of the system, the ability to specifically counter against a superior wrestler, or at least someone with an emphasis on wrestling as part of their grappling game?
Yes. One of the reasons, for sure. You know, like, it wasn't like, okay, I needed a way to beat wrestlers. That wasn't how I started. But as I developed it, I just noticed that, man, there's a really strong countering system for wrestling here. And, you know, I know there's guys who are great jiu-jitsu guys, you know, like, fantastic. But they can get, you know, stalled out by a wrestler and never really get to shine because, you know, they're trying to out-wrestle a wrestler, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very difficult, you know. If you think about it, like, the economics of it is, like, you have a guy who's all he's doing is spending his time working on takedowns and wrestling, and then you're trying to develop your overall game, like your jiu-jitsu game, kickboxing game, and then you're trying to get wrestling too, like, he's way ahead of you.
Right.
And so you're fighting, like, a slippery slope, and you're going to be sliding down. With this, you can work, if you're a jiu-jitsu guy, you can stick to your jiu-jitsu. You know, you don't have to, like, sacrifice it. And you can really work on it. And with this system, you have a very strong way of countering takedowns. I'm not saying, like, forget about wrestling and throw it out the door, you know, but, like, me personally, like, in my gym, we've been working this for years now. And the guys in my gym that have this good, I don't even shoot. It's, like, it's out of the picture because, like, it's so hard to avoid. It's not even worth the risk.
Now, let me ask you, in recent years, we've heard about Marcelo Garcia's apparent claim, and this is often repeated by Joe Rogan, that the Kimura takes a lot of energy to attempt. Is that something that you disagree with? Because I did shoot fighting. I have 5 shoot fighting matches under my belt. I trained at a Bart Vail certified shoot fighting academy, and I did 1 MMA match professionally. And from what I've seen with the Kimura, I mean, if you're going to do it from the guard, it's the same thing as if you were going to do it from side control. If your body is like one unit, like if you have your body stays together and you just use your body weight, then it doesn't require a lot of strength.
I 100% agree with you, and 100% disagree with Marcelo Garcia.
Yeah,
it's a big order because, I mean, he's a fantastic grappler. But
right.
I have to disagree with him because I've used this in all sorts of people. The one thing I will say is that almost, like, all the people that I've trained with, I've trained with lots of great grapplers, a lot of them do not have what I consider perfect technique with the Kimura. And it's like one very simple thing, like, I see, like, most people mess up on, it's just, like, the positioning of the body when you're doing a Kimura.
Uh-huh.
And, like, right away, I know, like, most people, when they go into the Kimura, they go, like, if they're doing it off their guard, they'll lock up the grip, and then they'll fall back into the guard. And to me, that's a huge no-no. It's, like, it's a big mistake. And I know almost everybody does that. So, like, and when you're in that position, it will require more strength because you're not putting your body in the optimal position to attack with a Kimura.
Does some of the momentum generated by a shot on the legs actually help someone with a good Kimura lock it up and execute the move?
Yes, it definitely does. Like when you have the timing for this and you're able to lock it up right away, they're barreling into you. You know, you don't even need to use your leg to really sweep them and throw them back. Like, they're throwing themselves
right
over you. You know, so it definitely does help. And it's like when you have to experience the system. Like, I've been able to teach this, like, in many schools now, doing seminars, and it's just a real, like, mind-opening experience for everybody there. And like, to me, it's like one of the things that, like, you can tell I'm super passionate about. I could talk about it for hours.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that it looks like you've developed something here, and I think that people already want to check this out, and it sounds like this could be very, very effective. A lot of people have tried to stay one step ahead, you know, when it comes to grappling, both for competing and for teaching, but some ideas get bogged down in endless debate or never really, you know, get picked up across the board. I remember when Mario Sperry came out with this technique, the grip, which at one point was marketed as the next big thing. I mean, that was a way to hold someone's chin in a certain way or something. Of course, Mario is another master grappler and innovator in his own right. But I think that there's something to be said for developing entries into an existing and familiar technique like the Kimura. To some extent, it's like similar to Eddie Bravo's use of the Twister, the wrestling guillotine, and his ability to enter into the hold in many different ways. Do you see some parallels with what you're doing with these Kimura techniques to the Twister?
Definitely. Like you said, the Kimura has existed for years and years and years. So that's showing a new submission hold. What I am showing is a new way of using it. And most people are, they only see the Kimura as, okay, shoulder lock, whereas I see the Kimura as an opportunity to pin somebody and execute a variety of attacks in a step-by-step fashion. And that's why I call it the Kimura trap system, because it's a plotted sequence of moves. Like, I have a flow chart where I actually share this with people. Okay, step one, he shifts single. Step two, you put him in the trap. Step three, he rolls one way, you do this. If he rolls the other way, you do that. So once you understand the system, you don't think anymore. You're just reacting. Whereas your opponent, he doesn't really, unless he has trained this a lot himself, which most people haven't, or actually, I would say like 99% hasn't, they're going to go by instincts, and like the instincts in this system always fail you. And that's what makes it very devastating.
You know, I was comparing it a moment ago to the Twister, but one thing that may be easier for this system is that it's probably easier to drill in class as opposed to Eddie Bravo's Twister, which is, a spine lock, which is very, very dangerous. That's got to be something that's easy, because it's easier to drill on the surface, and you could do it so many different times, so people can just, learn it through repetition.
Absolutely. It's one of the other things that I love about it. Like, there's lots of great techniques out there, but they're limited by body type, for example, when you're a bigger guy, triangle chokes are a real challenge, obviously a lot of heavyweights and super heavyweights wouldn't even bother with it because it's just not in their thing, but with Kimura, it can be done by anybody, and I don't have that challenge where I gotta say, you have to be a certain size or you have to be a certain flexibility. I've done seminars with little children, like 8 years old. I've done seminars with 45-year-old people who are 300-plus pounds, and they can do all the techniques on the system.
Now, I know that some of those old-timer wrestler types swore by what they call the double wrist lock and use it to slap them on basically indiscriminately against people everywhere they want. Or, on the streets and in a competition, whatever. But in some ways, using a hold that has very deep wrestling roots against wrestlers seems to make some sort of fundamental sense. Of course, a lot of people out there have a good Kimura in terms of how they execute. But I'm pretty sure that you're showing that what you're showing here is a new take on the situation. And it just shows you how we're evolving in terms of our jiu-jitsu submissions and our systems. When I started back in 99, 2000, there was no such thing as a twister or some of these submissions. Even in the anaconda choke, I never saw it back then in 2001, 2002. It just shows you just how the sport of grappling, the art of grappling is really evolving. Is there anyone out there on the grappling or fight circuit who you think throws a particularly good Kimura lock on?
Well, there's definitely a lot of guys out there. Like, one that comes to mind, obviously, is Carol Parisian. He's definitely got a great Kimura. He does a great Kimura throw as well. I know the Diaz brothers, they also do a good job with their Kimuras. And one of my guys, I would consider my protege, Jason Suarez. And he's a FILA world champion last year for grappling, and he's got a phenomenal kimura, and he's one of the guys that I've worked really closely with on this system. And I know he's got about 22 grappling matches.
Mm-hmm.
He has one with decision loss, 18 submission victories, and I think half or more are based off the kimura system.
Yeah, it's amazing. Was there anyone in particular who helped you develop your own skills with that hold-up? I know that you've had the benefit of a lot of wise grappling instruction over the years. Can you point to anybody that's really helped you develop your own skills with this hold?
For me, it's just something that I picked up and I just really started to work on. Like I said, I looked at my game and I told you, I made that analysis of what could I do that would make me effective in almost every position possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me before, my go-to submission was the ankle locks, right? But then the problem I had with the ankle locks is that it's harder to force on people when they know you're going to do it. They'll go into butterfly guard. And if you're mounted or whatnot in other positions, you can't go for it. So I wanted something that I could pull out from anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is, I can use it. And from my analysis, that's what kimura came from.
Is this material going to be primarily released online, or are you doing a retro hard copy format of the kind we used to get in the 80s, like videotapes or DVDs or whatever they used to call them?
Yeah, this is going to be actually offline. It's going to be DVDs. It's a 6-DVD system. There's also a full book that goes along with the system as well. So it's fully illustrated and whatnot. And then I also have my mind map, which shows all the techniques organized graphically and how they each transition from one another. So what was cool about this was that when I decided to actually make the product, I first made the mind map, then from the mind map I made the book, and then from the book I filmed the DVD set. So they all go together very well so that you can go from one to the other.
Yeah, I mean, grappling and instructional material is one of the few things still worth having on DVD. That way you could take it to places or lend it to people, and it's a good way. But seriously, I advise people to check this out if they're looking to diversify and polish their grappling game, especially if the jock wrestlers beat them up in practice and humiliate them with endless takedowns. It seems like a system that can just penetrate across all competition. All type of skills, the folks definitely go to the kimuratrap.com to see more. I think we're probably going to hear a lot of discussions involving this material in the coming months. So you want to get it on the ground floor and check it out early. Like I said, go to kimuratrap.com. Anywhere else listeners should visit, David, we can give out your Twitter and Facebook page as well.
Yeah, if they want to check me out on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/trainMMA.
Yeah.
You can find me there. And on Twitter, just my name, David Avalon. You can also find me there as well.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about stuff, including your work as a coach, both in person and with students directly and online, where I see you've been sharing a lot of motivational material with the internet folks. Can you tell us first about your gyms in Florida?
Absolutely. I have two academies. My headquarters academy is in Miami, Florida. It's been open now for almost 11 years. It's called the Freestyle Fighting Academy. And my second academy is in Davie, Florida. It's just a short drive away. And that one's been open now for over 5 years.
Okay. Now, is it true that you've taught something like over 10,000 people?
Usually, for sure, that people have been to the doors. There's been thousands and thousands. And we've had enrollment of over 1,000 people at our academy. So it's very busy because we're in a very, our headquarters is in a very great location right across from a major university. So, you know, we've gotten to help a lot of people in the process, helping ourselves too. Because as an instructor, there's no greater feeling than to see somebody improve themselves through your teachings.
Yeah, you guys seem to have been on the scene for a while, and there's no doubt that you put in a lot of work to get to where you are. And that's crazy that you've taught that many students. Congratulations on your success as a teacher. I always was very intrigued and kind of horrified reading about the incident that apparently got you into martial arts and the idea of helping people defend themselves. That was a vicious gang-style beating by bigger guys against an apparently totally defenseless high school student, right? I mean, if you can go through it for the people listening, I think they'd find it interesting.
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school. My brother was a sophomore. And we were in a school in Western High School, which was a school that had a lot of racial tension.
Uh-huh.
And between whites and Hispanic people particularly. And during one of the pep rallies, like, you would have people with Confederate flags waving up and down.
Wow.
And there'd be a lot of shouting back and forth. And it was and one of these, at the end of the pep rally, everybody was spilling out into the hallway to leave school. And when we caught wind of it, there was this one a kid that was just getting bullied by like four football players. There were these huge, like, 6 foot tall people. And they were just throwing them around, and eventually they started throwing blows. And this kid got his shirt torn off. He was bloodied up really bad.
Uh-huh.
And nobody on the outside was doing anything. They were just watching it happen. And you had even, like, faculty, you know, teachers and whatnot, they weren't stepping in to stop it.
Uh-huh.
And even the school security guard, he was just looking. And it was bewildering to me. Like nobody was coming to the defense of this poor guy. And surely once, like, the scuffle started to break apart, one of these guys sneaked up behind this kid and just threw a haymaker and dropped him on the floor, head slammed to the concrete, and there was blood everywhere.
Wow.
And at that point, it's like, holy crap, you know, that could easily been us, and nobody would have stepped in to help. You know, so that was really like a call to action. Like, all right, we gotta learn defense. We gotta learn self-defense for sure, because I don't want to be a victim.
Yeah, that's the sort of awful situation that a lot of people are afraid of, being caught up in something like that. I think the only thing worse than being involved in that sort of altercation is being there without knowing what to do at all. Sort of like being in the ocean without knowing how to swim. I mean, if you know how to swim, you might still drown, but if you don't know, then you're definitely going to drown. So it's always better to know. And I definitely encourage people to consider the lessons of the martial arts in order to better protect themselves. Do you have any material and a grappling curriculum geared towards self-defense, David? It sounds like something I'd imagine you'd be focusing on quite a lot with people at your academies.
Yeah, again, we have a bunch of different curriculums for all students. Because when my brother and I started our school, it was an old school, you know, because we're talking about like 1999. It was still not called mixed martial arts. We're talking about no holds barred. And we had the whole fight club mentality. Where the toughest survive, you know, the weak fall off. But, you know, you quickly learn that you'll go broke really fast if you keep that type of instructional model. So we learned to adapt and to cater to a wide audience so we could help more people. You know, so we have beginner programs, self-defense programs, and we also have programs for people who are looking to compete or just are very into being into the whole mixed martial arts movement.
Yeah, see that, folks? It's not all X guards and these high level grappling techniques. People can learn how to defend yourself, and it's an investment in your personal well being, and it's certainly an investment that I would recommend making. Of course, there's a sportive and competitive element to what you do as well. I mean, that's obvious, and that's why a lot of people know your name around the world. I know you have fighters and grapplers competing regionally and nationally. Can you give us some insight into how that's going and what it takes to put together and maintain a team of your own students?
Yes. Right now, we have our fight team that they come up to the ranks, and in our program, we have, like I said, we have, you know, a beginner program, and once somebody masters the fundamentals, the beginner program, they can move on to our advanced program, and in our advanced program, which we call our combat athlete program, then they start to put together more of the tools and move towards like a sparring environment where they're doing actually like full-fledged combat, but still in a very controlled scenario. And then from that stock of students, those who really wish to go to the next level and become a fighter, then we put them through what we call our fighter tryouts, where we're hosted every few months, and we pretty much do an open workout from those who qualify. And they have to do a very rigorous exercise routine, which is pretty much what our fighters go through on a regular basis. And it includes running, you know, tire workouts, and a whole bunch of cardio and strength and conditioning exercises. And at the end of all that, then they step into the cage with our fighters who are fresh. They've been watching. So it's a real grind. And more than anything, we're looking to see their heart and their will to excel. So the technique doesn't have to be 100% there. You know, what we're looking for is the will to fight on.
Yeah, and it must be difficult in some ways to watch people you've helped grow as competitors and individuals compete. Am I right? Almost like a parent with a kid in the spelling bee or something like that.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like for me, it's easier to fight myself. Like, I don't really feel as much stress competing as I do watching my people compete. Like when I see my guys going out there and fighting, that's when my heart, you know, is racing and I'm very nervous. But when it's me, it's not a big deal, you know, because I know what I'm capable of and I know I can handle it. But when you're coaching, it's a very unique stress because you want to do what's best for your guys and give them the right advice. But you can't really control the outcome. You know, you can only try to help from the outside, and that's could be very frustrating and also very stressful, because you really at the end you can't really do anything about what's happening. You can only just try to tell them what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and it must be a great feeling when they win too. I mean, helping people achieve and set goals is really a noble thing that I think can't be underestimated too much. From what I've seen and heard, that's a really good way for people to better themselves and their life as a whole, and hopefully they'll pass some of that benefit on to other people. What about you? Are you still active as a competitor? I know that you want to win the ADCC Championship, Submission Fighting Championships, again. Have you won an ADCC Submission Fighting Championship? Or is that that's like one of the few titles you haven't won?
Yeah, that's one of the titles I'm looking out for. I took a bronze in 2009, but I have yet to take the gold. But that will be changing.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it sounds like you're motivated. I know that, you know, you really approach this as people really, I think, I would say everybody at your level, the elite level, as a science and you know, as a lifestyle, it goes much more than just training. You know, you have to, you really have to apply science and theory and so on and so forth into everything, and that's how you win. That's how, you know, you're going to be get this championship, because, you know, as you said in the beginning of the interview, these guys like Hodge or guys like Marcelo Garcia and others, they're finishing guys in overtime. They're finishing guys, and so, you know, what is it that they're doing you know, perhaps that some other people aren't doing. I think that's a very intelligent way to approach that, you know. And I think that, you know, if you look at mixed martial arts, some fighters and grapplers either can't decide when it's time to make the switch from one to the other, or they don't pick the right time to do it and end up wavering between them. That doesn't seem like that's going to be the case for you, because you haven't done MMA in a long time. I don't know if you have any inclinations to go back to MMA, but it seems like you've really carved your niche in grappling.
Well, I definitely do want to return to MMA. It's something like when I train at my gym, I train all of our training sessions are MMA sessions. You know, like even when we do grappling classes, we always train with MMA gloves on, just so that we keep that awareness. That, you know, in a real, you know, situation, you know, there are going to be punches, there are going to be strikes, and you have to be ready for it. But
I just,
a lot of my grappling
I'm sorry,
style,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, yeah, my, a lot of my grappling style is based on that fact. Like I don't like doing things that would be considered like sport techniques that you couldn't do in an MMA situation, because someone would be punching you in the face. Like everything I do is adaptable into MMA, and that. So I especially, you know, the way my last fight went, I definitely got to return, because I can't go out on a defeat. You know, so I plan on being back for sure.
Well, you know what, and it's not people. Have to realize that you are a very good MMA fighter. You know, it's not that you just have one loss on your record, and that was to Aaron Simpson. And Aaron Simpson is probably one of the most underrated fighters. I mean, he's a great fighter. He's beaten some of the best MMA fighters out there. Okay, you know, and he's going to be fighting in the UFC in October. I forget who his opponent is, but he's a solid guy, and you know, he even could be potentially a title contender in the future. So this is not like this is not some run of the mill journeyman here. Aaron Simpson is, I think he's got a record of 16-17-3, which is very impressive. But it's good to see that you're still considering going into MMA. You're still a very young guy, and I thank you so much for being on the show to talk to us about, you know, what you got going, your new Kimura trap system. I definitely feel like we'll be hearing more about this, and that people who don't check it out in advance will be tapped out multiple times before they catch up. Go to KimuraTrap.com, folks out there. No spaces or dashes or anything like that. I also know you're active on Facebook to some extent, like you mentioned. You gave out your Twitter page. Do you have your own website, too?
Yes. If you go to my website, which is davidavalon.com, that's also my personal site, which I have my blog, and I also have an email newsletter in which I give out lessons and free videos on that site as well.
Perfect. David, please come back in the future to discuss anything you've got going on, as well as the ongoing tally of victims stuck in the Kimura trap, okay? It looks like great stuff. I wish you the best of luck. I wish your brother the best of luck as well. And, you know, this man is one of our best homegrown grapplers, folks, and you need to check out his material. David Avalon, thank you for coming on Carson's Corner.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great night.
You too, buddy.